There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Closing in on their 350th podcast, I'm Trevor.
Is it that many already? Holy shit.
I didn't realize that until I was on watching on my Apple TV our podcast. And we're up at 347, I believe.
Yeah, today is 347. Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Rob. I didn't know we were up to 347.
That's over 6 years worth of podcasting right there.
Holy shit. You know what? Here's the thing.
That's over 7 years. You think about it, we've barely missed a week, right? And there's 52 weeks in a year. We probably missed 10 weeks all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would give ourselves 10 weeks, because there is a time there where we took a couple weeks off here at, like, Christmas time or something.
So, yeah, that's creeping up on 7 years, I'm telling you.
Do you know what popped up on my iPod today? Because my iPod is hooked up in my vehicle. And so I'm driving around. I went for a little drive today. I'm listening, just flipping through things in my iPod, and Don and Drew show their 100th episode is still on my iPod, and that was from, like, May 15th, 2005.
Well, we started this. It was Don and Drew is, like, the podcast.
Yeah, they were the big ones, them and Adam Curry.
And them and Adam Curry, and then it's us. It's us three. We're like, if there's Mount Rushmore podcasting, it's me, you, Don, Drew, and Adam Curry.
Yeah, and so I'm like, wow, I haven't heard Don and Drew for such a long time. They are almost, I think they're on episode 989.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they do a couple episodes a week.
Five.
We keep it to one a week.
They do five episodes a week.
That you see, yeah, we've only done one a week.
Yeah, there's been maybe 1 or 2 weeks where we've done two episodes, but
that's a rarity. And didn't we actually label that like 150 and 150A?
I think so. I think so.
I'm pretty sure we did.
But no, I started looking up Don and Drew. And sorry, guys, we're gonna get into Survivor here. And you know what? We have Mark and Bopper on tonight.
Gosh, I love Mark and Bopper.
I know.
I felt so bad when they got eliminated.
But I went searching around. So apparently Don and Drew moved to Costa Rica for a while, bought a business, ran it, podcasted from down there, and then they got robbed like sometime last summer and decided to move back to Wisconsin.
I missed so much. To me, I still listen to Don and Drew. I would say, and here's the thing, I actually think I'm surprised Don and Drew aren't like the biggest thing on radio, and this is just me showing mad respect for them, but I think they're funnier than a lot of these top flight radio combos. I think Don and Drew are, I would say they're two of the most talented radio / podcasting people in the entire business.
Like, I just listened to their episode 100 today for a little while. I sat out in the car because it came on just as I was coming into town.
The episode where Dawn describes if she were to have relations with Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, is absolutely hysterical.
They're funny. And they're probably part of the reason that we're podcasting, is because I just fell in love with them right around their 100th episode, and I thought, yeah, who are Don and Drew? So people are asking in the chat room, who are Don and Drew? They are the reason that podcasting took off. I mean, I hate to give them that much credit.
I would say you got to give Adam Curry.
Yeah, you got to give Adam Curry a lot of credit, but. But
does he even do podcasting anymore?
I don't know what he does.
Because I haven't heard much about him, but his nickname used to be the Podfather.
Yeah.
I mean, we had our listeners spam his inbox to try to get on his network.
Yeah, and that went to shit.
That just kind of probably pissed him off.
Yeah, it probably did. I don't know what he's up to anymore. Even his Wikipedia page is pretty.
Well, I mean, it seems like he kind of just dropped off the face of the earth again.
Yeah.
Adam Curry, if you're out there, you can always call me.
Yeah, I don't need to hear from you,
Adam. We'll chop it up.
You can talk to Trevor.
Yeah. We can reminisce.
So, I want to talk tonight a little bit about how Kim is able to grow a better mustache than Jay.
Oh my god, you noticed that too? Okay, because I wasn't sure if there's this dirt on her lip. But yeah, well, first of all, I gotta throw this out here. Normally, when Survivor's on Thursday night, it used to always be a bottle of wine or a six pack of Yingling and pizza. And I said, you know what, this is a big episode. I decided to go old school. So I have a bottle of Apothic Red, great bottle. Had pizza tonight, and I enjoyed Survivor. And I thought maybe it was because I had one too many drinks that Kim looked like she had a mustache. But I'm glad you noticed it also.
Yeah, she definitely was digging the mustache tonight, and better than Jay's. I mean, girly boy Jay is not able to grow a mustache as good as Kim's.
In her defense, it's got to be rough, right? Because you're out there for 30-some odd days. Don't women usually do that, like, laser treatment, whatever, to prevent themselves?
And I, even in this state, I would probably still fuck Kim. I mean, even with a mustache. Even with a mustache. Did you see those abs? Holy shit.
I wasn't sure if those were abs or if those were ribs.
Those were probably both. Probably don't both. Care. Wow.
So, tremendous episode. And
Kim is not a man.
Can we just say what the moral of this episode is? And it's like this every single year. If there is a reward challenge that involves seeing a family member, immediately lose it.
Yes. Yes.
Don't even try it.
No. Do not try to win. Don't. Because it is. It puts her... It put Kat in such a terrible... By the way, incest? I mean...
I'm not going to go that far. I just thought they're a very loving brother sister.
Very loving. That's your code word, Trevor.
No, but yeah, I mean, it's so awkward. I mean, if you win that, and it just destroyed Kat's game today. She went home because she didn't choose the people she should have chosen. She should have chosen Christina, obviously.
Right.
I mean, that was Captain Obvious. It basically offended her entire tribe.
Yep.
She should have chosen Tarzan, although I think Tarzan would have been excusable had she chosen Christina. It would have given her a pass if she had chosen Christina.
But Sabrina would have immediately said, no, don't give it to me, give it to Tarzan.
Well, that's true, but Kat immediately just chose Kim and Alicia, which just reeked of, I'm choosing for strategy purposes, right?
Right.
Reeked of that, and then everybody that was sitting over there was like, oh, so that's how it is, Kat.
Right.
Right? If she had chosen Christina, who she's never been truly aligned with, but has that backstory.
Sorry. Davey in the chat room says, doesn't everybody get on all fours for their cousin?
No, but I mean, if she chooses fucking Christina, she's probably still in this game right now.
Yeah. I think so.
No, so moral story, never, ever win a challenge when your family member shows up.
And I think, just to put the cherry on top of everything, people were threatened by her doing so well in the immunity challenge.
Yeah, and the way she carried herself afterwards.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't mind being upset if you lose. But, you know, what she probably should have done was been kind of sullen, but then given, like, a sturdy handshake.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to be upset at yourself, but you don't take it out on the winner.
Yeah. I think a sturdy handshake, because Kim was trying to show some sportsmanship, a sturdy handshake, and then you can go back to feeling sorry for yourself.
But I truly think that Kat is dumb. Dumb. Did you hear her talk tonight? And what a perfect reason.
I will say when her and her brother were talking in that whole sequence, I could have used some subtitles.
Yeah, cousin. Not brother, cousin.
Sorry.
I think that Kim saw exactly why Kat needed to go to the final three. She's dumb.
Well, Kim wanted to drag Kat to the final three.
Yep.
I think, and this was actually, I would say, Chelsea's first real power move, asserting power maybe even over Kim. right? Because Kim wanted to save Kat, and Chelsea's intransigence in terms of, no, we're getting rid of Kat, I think basically sealed Kat's fate tonight.
I agree.
It was the first time I can say, you know what, Chelsea may have, and if you notice, Kim was willing to ditch Chelsea, which shows me that she's a little worried that Chelsea could win in a jury vote against her.
Do you think, do you think that that she would be willing to dump her?
She wanted to take Kat and Alicia to the final three. And she was putting her neck out for Kat, which I would have thought would be the person, if she was going to switch out, she would switch out Chelsea. She wanted to keep Kat. I think if Kim has her druthers, she does not want to be sitting next to Chelsea. And she
Chelsea. You know what? I was corrected by somebody on Facebook last week. It's just Chelsea. It's not Big Brother. I forgot to... I need to find credit, give credit to that person. But Kim knows that she can take Chelsea to the final four, at least.
I mean, maybe she doesn't want to take that chance.
But she almost has to, because...
Now...
I don't know. I'm just...
Well, now she does almost have to, because Kat's gone. Unless she tries to drag Alicia and Christina to the final three.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in her interest to try to drag Tarzan to the final three. Because all the men on that jury
are going to
remember getting voted off, and they're going to one by one give Tarzan $1 million.
That is true.
I think if I were them, in fact, if I were one of the remaining women on the tribe, I think you're right. I think you get rid of Tarzan before that final three happens. Don't even take the chance he's sitting on the jury.
Yeah.
I mean, don't even take the chance he's sitting there, and the jury remembers how you guys made it your goal to dominate the game.
Yeah, right. The comment that Kat made tonight that probably just pushed me over the edge is, I got beat by a 28-year-old. I'm 22. I don't know how I got beat.
Well... The comment that was freaking hysterical was that she said before she got blindsided, yeah, let's have a blindside. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. I like blindsides.
They're fun and exciting.
Yeah. That was her exact words. You're right. It's fun and exciting, I believe, is what she said.
She's so stupid. She's so dumb. And I really liked Kat up until about 8:30 tonight.
Last week I was advocating Kat's candidacy. I thought she had a really good week last week.
Yeah.
And she just turned, like, you know, destroyed any feelings that I want her to stay within like 10 minutes of this episode.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, keep Sabrina dump Kat by like the 30 minute mark.
There's bacon.
After I heard the whole Christina backstory and everybody knew it. And then she just didn't choose her to go to the reward challenge. I was like, you know what? You got to cross her off the list.
Mike K said in the chat room, she also said, there's bacon in this BLT. I mean, that's just dumb. That's dumbness right there. That's something one of my teachers would say. I mean, seriously.
it's a really interesting dynamic, that what's left on that island. You got Kim, you got Chelsea, you got Alicia, you got Christina. You got Sabrina and you got Tarzan. The person who goes out next week is going to be very interesting because there's no logical candidate.
I think it's right Alicia. I think it's Alicia. She's hateable. She's delusional. And I think at this point, Kim has decided that she wants Chelsea at the end. And I think Sabrina is going to get to the end.
Well, Alicia, I thought Kim really liked Alicia, though.
I think she does, but there was something telling tonight. There was something very telling tonight. She was sitting there with her sister or whoever, her family member. I think it was her sister, right?
Yeah, it was her sister.
And she's like, you know, Alicia, she's delusional. She thinks people like her.
That is true. I remember that statement.
So, to me, that's very telling as to how Kim thinks about Alicia. Now, if she takes her to the end, because of that reason, that's a good strategy. But
that's what she's angling for.
I'm not sure she's thinking of that, though. I think it's boiled down to the basic thing that she doesn't like Alicia. And I'm just not sure that it's crossed her mind. I don't know. I just... Kim's not that stupid, but I'm not sure it's crossed her mind that that's a good enough reason to take her to the end. Yeah, I agree, Michael. If Alicia wins, I'm going to slit my own throat.
Now, here, well, see, I don't think she's going to win.
I don't either, but I don't want her at the end.
The obvious candidate is Christina, right? She would be the obvious. They could probably, or Tarzan. Those would be the two that they could coalesce around and probably have an easy vote, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, they're going to keep Christina around just because she's so easy to get rid of, and boom, she's in the final four.
Tarzan, I mean, he's acting all crazy at camp according to the previews.
Yeah,
I wonder if Tarzan is trying to go Philip and act just crazy enough that they go.
I think that's absolutely it. I think that's absolutely it.
So if you believe that, Chelsea is obviously not going home, right?
No.
Kim, it would be the most shocking blindside of the last 10 years if she went home.
Yes.
Sabrina, I think she survived.
Sabrina's smart.
Sabrina survived her date with the executioner tonight.
I gained a lot of respect for Sabrina tonight, and mostly because we didn't know much of her.
Well, I didn't realize Sabrina was that well liked in this game.
I didn't either. Davey says, whoa, Tarzan is acting crazy in next episode. Where did that come from?
Crazier than usual is what I should say.
Sabrina is well-liked, and the thing that makes her likable is she sticks up for other people. Like, she truly thought that Christina and Tarzan should have went on tonight's reward.
Strongly enough, that she may have won their jury votes.
Yes. I believe so. Steven was here makes a good point. I love Kim, but she's got the most obvious edit ever. She really does. I mean, she's been getting a winner's edit since, like, week 5.
See, I almost wanted to throw a curveball at us then.
I know. It's
at some point. See, I feel almost like Chelsea and Kim tonight. We did see a little bit that the two of them, while they're aligned, are kind of looking like they could turn on each other at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like we in that whole lunch with Kim, where Kim was talking about her strategy. It didn't include Chelsea. And then Chelsea is back at camp mobilizing support against Kat without even talking to Kim at all. Right?
But that's Chelsea assuming that Kim is on the same page as her. And they're really not. They're in a very tight alliance together, but they're absolutely not on the same page with each other.
I'm going to use the basketball analogy. They feel like a little like LeBron and Dwayne Wade, right?
Yeah, they're
on the same team. Yeah, you know, but it just feels like you have two first bananas there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's no clear one. See, I thought Kim was a clear one, but now I just feel like it's more one and 1A. And that you never know when their egos might clash.
Puffy Taco says that because LeBron will fall apart in the last quarter.
Well, then Kim better hope that she's off with LeBron as a pair.
Yeah. Chelsea, and the Puffy Taco also in the chat room says, Chelsea is really letting Kim take over so that she's the target first. And that's probably absolutely true, too. Maybe Chelsea knows that they're not on the same page, but Kim is the target in the alliance, so she really don't care. True. I think Chelsea might be a step ahead of Kim here. I think she
may have been. I mean, who's Kat going to blame for going home?
Kim.
I think she implicitly trusted that Kim would have her back.
Right.
So Chelsea never gave off that she would have Kat's back. In fact, at tribal council, she pointed out how, oh, Kat, you know, she's 22. You know, 22 is not that young. You know, she made a comment like that.
Yeah.
Well, basically, you know, signaling that, yeah, I think you are immature.
Right. Yeah,
I think Kat's genuinely crushed. I mean, when you saw the exit, that little exit, snippet, before they show the votes. I mean, Kat's like, I'm the most naive person in Survivor history. I need to get Jeff to let me back on to another season.
I got voted out before Christina and Tarzan.
I mean,
that's what makes her hateable.
She seems genuinely crushed. Which, you know, it's a little I don't you know, she walked into tribal council not even thinking that she was the one that could go home.
Right.
I mean, what planet was she living on? Yeah. You know, she had to have known the camp was pissed at her about the reward challenge.
But there's her naivete coming.
Yeah, through. She's right. I must be the most naive person in survivor history. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you just got mind fucked by your tribe.
I think that her exit speech, and people in the chat room are going to disagree with me. Her exit speech to me made her more hateable. I just fucking could care less. She just so selfish, and she needs to learn a lesson. And
she got taught one pretty nicely.
She got taught one very nicely. Cat and tears.
No, we're about to ask each other a question: who we think's going home next week? And I have no idea.
I the other person that's hateable, and maybe this is why it's swaying my voice as to who goes home next week. I hate Alicia.
Alicia's not very likable.
Ugh, just hateable.
See, I almost think that's going to keep her around, though.
Slightly less hateable than Cat tonight. But probably the most hated person in Survivor in a few years in my book.
I mean, she's another one, you know. You wonder, see, I think Kim wants to keep Alicia around. But at the end of the day, she might not have a choice again. This could be another Cat situation for her. She wants to keep Alicia. Chelsea says, I don't want to keep her. Sabrina says, I don't want to keep her. Then all of a sudden it's 2-1.
And Kim gets the blame for it. You know, what a perfect setup for Chelsea and Sabrina in a way. I think Chelsea knows what kind of power she has. I don't think Sabrina does.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Again, if Alicia were to go home next week, I'm sure Kim's going to get the blame for it from Alicia.
Yeah, Mike K is typing this out, and he's doing a great job. Alicia said, I'm in a perfect spot. They think I'm a misfit, but I'm at the top, and I'm controlling everything. I'm at the top. I'm the most powerful player in the game. Now, no. That's delusion.
Yeah, that is delusional.
That is delusion. I mean, that is the definition of delusion right there.
Obviously, Kim is right now. I would say Kim and Chelsea are the two controlling this game.
Yeah.
They've been controlling it now for a few weeks.
Kim's the figurehead of the entire
island. Could actually begin to make that argument that maybe Kim might be the figurehead and Chelsea the savvy
puppeteer.
Operator behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And if Chelsea really is a savvy operator behind the scenes, she's going to push Kim out the exit hatch around 5 or 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
She very well might. I think Chelsea's got a closer relationship to Sabrina than Kim does. If it comes down to Kim, Chelsea, Sabrina, and let's say a Tarzan, I think Chelsea could easily swing Sabrina and then get Tarzan to vote off Kim.
I do, too. I do, too. I think Chelsea has a better working relationship with everybody than what Kim does. And that's so odd because Kim is so likable. Kim is so likable. People mm-hmm. love her out there. But for some reason, and that's my perception, I may be wrong, Chelsea, yes, thank you, Dover in the chat room, Chelsea hasn't made the enemies that Kim has. And not only is Kat blaming Kim for voting her out, who if you're in that tribe, if you're Tarzan, if you're Christina, whose fault is it that Kat got voted out tonight? It's Kim's fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not Chelsea's fault.
And you know, Troyzan is pinning his elimination on Kim.
Troyzan's absolutely pinning, and rightfully so. I mean, that was she went after him hard. From early on.
Kim's going to have a hard time rustling up jury votes. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I don't know, because she is likable. And it just depends on how this jury looks at it. Again, it's how... Is the jury going to give it to somebody who didn't cause any waves? Or is the jury going to give it to somebody who played the best game?
Mm-hmm.
And it's different from year to year. You never know how that jury is going to react.
I see. You think Kim's getting winner's edit. I think she's going to get eliminated at 4. I'm just throwing it out there. That's my prediction.
I think she's blindsided at some point just because she's been getting such a perfect edit.
Yeah, I think the combo of this perfect edit and the subtle shift I saw tonight in the game, I think she goes home at 4.
Yeah, I think she may.
If you ask me who I think the final three is right now, I would actually say Chelsea, Sabrina, and Tarzan.
It's so fucking odd to agree with you, but...
It's either Tarzan or Christina. Either Tarzan or Christina are going to get to the final three.
And all Christina needs to do is start making people feel sorry for her more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And she will win this game. I mean, I'm rooting for Christina. I love Christina.
Especially because Eric keeps trashing her, too. But I think I want Christina to win also.
But I would probably... I do want Kim to win.
Listen, if Christina really wanted, she could give one hell of a jury speech.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Christina... Christina's smart. I mean, and I said this last week. People are not giving her credit. And she's gonna take your term, mind fuck these people. Yeah, and I guess 2096 in the chat room, I don't get why they all hate Christina on the island. I don't. I agree. I don't know why they hate her.
Oh, if there's out here, Sabrina could easily win this game also. I didn't realize how well liked she was on the island. I actually think she had a nice show tonight.
Yeah, she's back. I mean,
yeah. I think her being so outspoken against Kat, I think won her, it may not win the jury vote, but at least when, you know, let's say Christina and Tarzan are sitting there debating, you know, who they want to give $1 million to, they might remember the person who's like, you know, I didn't think it was fair what happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think...
Oh, that person stuck up for me. Yeah, maybe I should give them $1 million. Instead of this person, he plunged a knife in my back and sent me off the island.
The final three needs to be Kim, Chelsea, and insert somebody. I mean, I don't know who it needs to be, that third person. But Kim and Chelsea deserve to be there.
Do you think if Tarzan gets there with Kim and Chelsea could split votes and then Tarzan wins?
No. I don't see Tarzan.
Yeah, I see. I think Tarzan is going to vote for Tarzan to win out of spite.
I do, too. I mean,
absolutely see Weef casting a spite vote also.
No, I can't. I think somebody like Leaf, Jay, they're Jay, especially. I'm not going to throw Leaf in that dumb enough category. Jay's dumb enough to vote for whoever he thinks has the bigger boobs. No, I think he's just dumb enough to vote for whoever impresses him at jury. Leaf is going to vote for somebody who played the game the best. He seems to be very level-headed. I think Kim and Chelsea deserve to be there. Some people, Steven was here, says Kim, Sabrina, Christina would be the most pleasing final three. Yeah, I'm not sure what Sabrina has done to earn herself there besides being likable. I know that's a big part of the game.
How's that saying? Hasn't Sandra won two Survivors strictly on being likable?
No, she hasn't. Sandra's hateable. Sandra's fucking...
Well, she was you're right. She was hateable her first season, but she was likable her second season.
She was. But Sandra got there by not being a threat. And obviously, I think that's what Sabrina's... That's why she dropped out of the immunity challenge first tonight. She could have stayed there. That challenge was built for her. She absolutely threw that immunity challenge tonight.
Who, Sabrina? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think she did.
Yeah.
First of all, she's definitely strong enough that she could have hung in longer.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she punted it away.
Yep.
I thought Chelsea punted it away also, to be honest.
Yeah, I think she did too.
I thought when it got down to three, she decided, you know what? I've been up here long enough.
I think Christina needed to suck it up a little bit and last a little longer.
I was surprised Christina didn't go out and say, I need to win this challenge.
Yeah.
I knew the challenge was stacked against Tarzan because the heavier you are,
yeah,
the worse that challenge is going
to
hurt.
And Sabrina absolutely has the upper body strength and the core to fucking hang on to that rope.
Yeah, I think Sabrina may. Perhaps Sabrina is taking the Will and Mike Boogie approach to these challenges.
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, she definitely fucking threw that challenge tonight. You will not convince me otherwise. Jeez.
No, I can't believe I lost that one.
Yeah, you will not convince me that she should not, that Tarzan lasted longer than she did. Come on.
Oh, jeez, I lost another one. Damn it.
Dang. Gee, dang it. What's wrong with me? Gosh darn it.
And that would absolutely be me if I was on a challenge with a family member. Oh, shit. Damn it.
Son of a bitch.
I really wanted to win that one.
That's too bad. What? His my belt broke. God darn it. Gosh darn it, Jeff. Come on. Help me out here just a little bit, Jeff. Okay. I'll follow the rules.
I really want to win that one.
Yeah, I really... Aw, dang it. It was... Get the fuck out of here, brother. I don't fucking need to see you. Get out of here.
Even last week when Kim had to choose... You know, honestly, reward challenges might be a good idea to lose those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get picked. Be likable enough and get picked.
Yeah.
Don't win.
Yeah. Try to be nice to everybody so you get to go on the reward challenges.
Yeah.
But don't actually win them so you can choose.
Right. Right. I mean, come up with a Johnny Fairplay dead grandma.
Yeah. Try the immunity challenges, punt away the reward challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I don't think you win any challenges at this point. There's 8 days left in the show. Don't win anything until the final.
Yeah. Try and immunity if you think you need it.
Right. Otherwise, go fuck it. I mean, just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Go fuck it. Yeah. Don't fuck the immunity necklace. That looks like it might hurt. Okay, inappropriate, Belle. Who's going home, Trevor?
Who is going home? I agree with you. I'm going to go Alicia.
I do, too. I think that she's gone. I think she's hateable enough that Chelsea's able to pull that one out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alicia or Tarzan, Steven was here.
Gets us down to 5, which then it really gets interesting.
Which means we're 2 weeks away from or week and a half away from a finale. I mean, it'll be Amazing Race finale Sunday, and then Survivor finale the following Sunday.
And then Big Brother hopefully starts next week.
Yes, Big Brother starts next week, or in July, however you look at it. July 12th is what I heard.
Is that when we make up a second awards show?
Yeah, I don't know. How do we get... We've done this 7 times now. How do we get between... How do we get there? How do we
usually we throw in at least one show with us just bullshitting about movies and TV shows the entire time.
That's true.
Maybe I'll have a more... as we discussed before the show, I'm rewatching the entire series of Lost on Netflix to make sure that I didn't miss anything.
Yep.
So I'll let you know if I missed something.
We have that Big Brother ripoff show by ABC called The Glass House, Davey says. Somebody posted about that on my Facebook, too.
By the way, one thing to note about Lost, Evangeline Lilly might be the most underrated actress in television history.
I think we're past the Lost bandwagon here, Trevor. Sorry.
I'm going to say this 5 years after the fact. Really attractive.
That's true. Going back to ABC's The Glass House, it's a Big Brother ripoff. Yeah, I'm kind of with Davey. I hope it's good. Big Brother has gotten kind of stale, but there will probably never be another Big Brother. If I can sell feeds, if I can sell live feeds to The Glass House, I will love it.
You know what TV series I'm thinking about getting myself into?
What's that?
I heard Homeland on Showtime is phenomenal.
See, I don't get any of those, like, Showtime.
Well, then, you got Netflix. You just watch the entire series.
I fucking barely watch. The only reason, Trevor, the only reason I have satellite anymore, and it's not even high def. People are going to bust my balls for this. It's not high def because the only time I watch TV is for Survivor, The Amazing Race, and Big Brother. That is the only time my satellite dish gets turned on. And it's not in HD. I refuse to pay for it in HD. Refuse. if I didn't have this
radio, is phenomenal on HD.
If I didn't have this radio show, I would not have satellite television. Yeah, I wish I could get them all over the air for free. I fucking live in the middle of fucking nowhere. You're lucky that I'm able to podcast. I'm so out in the middle of nowhere. So there is no way I could get over the air.
You don't watch Mythbusters anymore.
No, don't watch Mythbusters. If I do, it's on Netflix.
Wow. You know, though, with Netflix, the thing with Netflix that
or
makes
Hulu.
It awesome is you can watch old shows. Like, I never got into the series Breaking Bad, and I've heard it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I have, too. I have, too.
And I feel like now it's happened for so long, I can't get into it. So I'm just going to wait for the series to go off the air, and then I'm going to watch all the episodes on Netflix.
Davey says, admit it, Rob, you have satellite for the Reba reruns. That's not true. I have those on DVD. What are you talking about? I'm not a big fan of Hulu either. Steven was here, but it really, like, at night, if I'm laying in bed and I can catch up on The Daily Show or Stephen Colbert or The Office or Tosh.
Hulu's not bad.
No, Hulu's not bad. And Hulu's on my Roku box, so I have Roku.
Hulu's good. There's, like, a Saturday Night Live skit, too, that was phenomenal, but you didn't see.
Yeah.
I like Hulu for that.
The Celebrity Apprentice, I watched that. I get that in HD. I'm not gonna really say how. It's legal, I think. I don't care. Inappropriate bell. but no, before we get to The Amazing Race, we do have Mark and Bopper, interview with Mark and Bopper tonight. I have a lot to talk about with them before we even hear the interview. I am gonna be hated right now. I love Lisa Lampanelli on Celebrity Apprentice. Lisa and Aubrey go all... I hope they go all the way.
wait, the Aubrey you're talking about is the one from Making the Band,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
She was great on that show. Her music career never really took off.
No, her music... But god dang, she's creative. I love Lisa Lampanelli just because she just fucking tells it like it is. And Diana, whatever the fuck her name was that just got eliminated, the Miss Universe.
I'm going to say Aubrey's problem is age wasn't very kind to her. I'm not saying that. Yeah, I don't want to sound like...
Mendoza.
She got a lot less attractive, but like... She just didn't have that it factor anymore, to be right.
I don't think she really ever had the it factor.
I think when
gorgeous.
She was on Making the Band, she had that look and that it factor that she could have been a star. But as, like, she got older, it just kind of fell off.
Yeah. Yeah. She's still very attractive, and I love, for some reason, the red hair that she has now just does it for me. I don't know what it is. I just love that.
I'll have to watch Celebrity Apprentice. Maybe she's making a comeback. She's saying, she's, screw you, Trevor. I do have to get that.
She's looking good. Diana. A little darker than that. Diana did play a smart game, but yeah, she lasted way longer than she needed. Somebody else who's lasted way longer than she needed to is the housewife, whatever her name is. She's dumb. If anybody in the chat room knows her name for, I can't even think of her first name right now. Teresa. Thank you. That one
press on at 9 o'clock on Sundays, right?
Yes.
See, that's the problem for me is that's opposite The Good Wife.
Ugh.
Well, The Good Wife's just a phenomenally intelligent.
I usually watch The Celebrity Apprentice on Mondays after I've recorded.
See, I'm gonna have to watch it on demand.
Yeah. Teresa is horrendously stupid. I mean, that woman is off in her own fucking world. Yeah, Aubrey probably does need to be put in her place. I don't disagree. So does Lisa. But god dang, I love Clay. I love Lisa. Clay's not my favorite, although he's super creative. I have a thing for the people who are creative, and Lisa is creative, Aubrey is creative, Clay is creative. So they have a special place in my heart. So that's my take on Celebrity Apprentice right now. It's probably done here in a few weeks too, but On to the Amazing Race, Trevor. Who was right? Who can say that they were right that Mark and Bopper got screwed? And
you are. Yeah. They even got the fast forward.
Yeah. And they were way too far behind.
Well, in my defense, I didn't realize the Amazing Race didn't have just awful detours. Oh. I mean, that one detour with the elephant could have taken teams more than 10. When are they going to do a good needle in the haystack challenge? They haven't had one truly stressful challenge yet this season.
No, they haven't. They haven't.
I mean, and now you're getting down to the final four. Throw a challenge out there, especially because, you know, Mark and Bopper are behind. Give us a challenge that may take somebody 6 hours to complete.
Right. Right.
It's like these challenges are so easy that the game is really predicated on how fast you can get there.
And it is odd that the person who won the fast forward got last place. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of the Amazing Race before.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when they were going to get to fast forward, I thought, oh wow, they're going to get to fast forward and definitely not finish last.
I was so hoping Art and JJ were gone because I was so going to cancel that interview.
the detour was just so easy that it didn't even really give Mark and Bopper a chance.
No, it didn't. That ginger, though, that ginger sorting and packing, that was dumb by Art and JJ to make that choice.
Yeah, they chose the other detour. They would have been done an hour. I mean, you know, they chose poorly. But even that was not a hard detour to figure out. You sort some ginger, you put it in boxes, and you stick it on a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a lot of manual hard labor compared to the elephant. That was nothing.
That was nothing. And then 15 wheelbarrows? I mean, come on. Yeah.
And that
100
poop,
wheelbarrows, maybe now you're talking.
That
15?
That poop looked like nothing. Yeah. I mean, like, that poop really looked light.
And they weren't even judging the wheelbarrows.
No.
I mean, some people had full wheelbarrows. It felt like Brendan was bringing over half a wheelbarrow and it was fine.
Well, good for them for finding a way to bend the rules. I mean...
No, I mean, really? Seriously, the challenge sucked. I'm just putting that out there.
It did. It will not get a nomination.
It will not be nominated for best challenge. In fact, we may create a worst challenge of the year category and make that our first nomination.
That was not a good
one.
And
I'm not just saying this, I'm upset that Mark and Bopper got eliminated. Which, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they probably, you know, deserved it. I mean, they have a great win, but everybody was rooting for them. I was rooting for them. Everybody wants the Mark and Bopper win, and they had no chance when you have crappy challenges like that.
I want to go back to the fast forward a little bit, because Brendan and Rachel did get there. They did contemplate taking it. I liked it. Was it Uchenna and Joyce? It was Uchenna and Joyce, correct? Am I wrong in saying that? It was. They made a reference in there, like, the last team to have completed this fast forward ended up winning the Amazing Race.
Well, that was the only time they had that fast forward.
Right. But wasn't that odd for them to put that in there? That almost made me think right there, immediately, that Brendan and Rachel did not win and are not going to win this Amazing Race. Because why else would you throw that in there? The last team to have completed this fast forward ended up winning the Amazing Race. I think that maybe they foreshadowed a little bit too much. I don't know.
Well, don't know. To be honest, I still feel like even though Art and JJ had a bad run and Dave and Rachel had a good run, those are the two teams to beat going into the Final Four.
Art and JJ are hateable. Dave is hateable.
I mean, to me, who am I rooting for? I am rooting for Brendan and Rachel.
I am too. I never thought I would say that in this, seeing them in the Amazing Race. I knew I would like
Ralph
them.
And Brendan and Rachel squashed their beef also. You know, I would prefer that happened in the final episode.
Yeah.
Just so we had one more, like, tension-filled leg.
Right, right.
And by the way, Vanessa's injury wasn't that bad.
No, absolutely not. I knew that Brendan and Rachel were going to make some very good television. I didn't expect to be rooting for them to win. I hate everyone else. Do not like Vanessa and Ralph. Do not like Dave. Like Rachel. She deserves the money so she can divorce that fuck and get the hell out of there. I'm not a fan of Art and JJ.
Now, the preview showed Dave and Rachel arguing next week.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, he even when she is encouraging him, he's like, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear it. They're asking me in the chat room if I'm watching the right show. I just don't like these people. I don't
like Brendan and Rachel. I'm rooting for them.
I'm not saying I like Brendan and Rachel. They're the least hateable right now.
There's something strangely likable about the fact that everybody wants to beat them this year.
I know. It is very odd.
Turned an overdog into an underdog.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect example. I don't know. I don't know. But after talking with Mark and Bopper, I do not know. Okay, they're hillbilly. And you guys are going to hear it in the interview coming up. I don't think anybody can prepare themselves for the amount of hillbilly that is going to... And I love Mark and Bopper. I will be the first to defend them on anything.
Oh, if there's an all-star season and Mark and Bopper aren't on it, I'm going to flip out.
Yeah. They are the most genuine guys ever. They are... The amount of hillbilly did not come across on television that is about to come across on the interview that we have with them tonight. There was times I was sitting there, and maybe you guys can hear the dead air on my end in the interview later. I had no idea what they were saying. Not one clue. And I'm just not so... I just don't know how they made it as far as they did in the... Yeah, I needed a translator. I don't know how they made it as far as they did in The Amazing Race.
Hats off to him. I was rooting for them the entire time. I really like Mark and Bob.
I love him. I love him even more after talking to him. Genuine
team. I thought they were in it for the right reason. I thought they pushed hard.
Yeah.
I'm upset that they were eliminated, only because I thought those challenges were just so weak.
Yeah.
You know, it was just awful. Yep. The detour challenge was just awful.
It was just
awfully weak.
Yeah.
I mean.
I will stand up again, though.
It didn't allow for somebody to come back if you have a detour challenge that any idiot could finish in 10 minutes.
I will come back and defend Art and JJ. They I'm not sure if I can defend them. It was a dumb decision what they made.
Yeah,
that was hard.
The other three teams made, they would have been done in 10 minutes also.
They could have probably been second place.
I mean, 15 wheelbarrows. You could do 15 wheelbarrows in 5 minutes if you run.
Yeah, and I think Brendan did probably get it done rather quickly. Yeah, I would have thought that they...
Touching the wheelbarrows to see if there was a full load going in.
What was the roadblock? I'm not even... I can't even think of the roadblock right now. Anybody in the chat room can remind me of the roadblock. I'm so glad we have the chat room. They're like my collective brain.
Well, I'm trying to think to describe the roadblock challenge.
Nope, nobody... Rope. What was it with the rope or something? Yeah. Some Solstice says you guys have me...
rope-making challenge out of corn husks.
Yep, spin the rope. Yeah, Boomhauer off of King of the Hill is definitely... I had one of the Boomhauer moments with Mark and Bopper. Yeah, twirl the... That was not a great roadblock either. It was classic Amazing Race roadblock, but not that challenging. It was boring. I agree, Dover. I don't know. I just...
You know what they need to do? They need to hire whoever does the challenges for Big Brother or Survivor.
Yeah.
And put them in charge.
Because Big Brother...
Wipe the slate clean. Hire whoever's the assistant to the head challenge person on those shows.
You know, and Survivor, they've got quite a creative team. And they have lots of time. They have lots of time to build a challenge and get ready on Survivor. Big Brother, they do challenges in the backyard, in one place, for 3 months. And they have to build them quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, Big Brother, to me, seems to be a bigger feat than Survivor. Of getting challenges done, and Survivor's only 39 days.
On those two shows, are just superior to The Amazing Race.
I
mean, the last great Amazing Race challenge was Cheese Log Hill.
Yeah,
and that was only because of the unintentional comedy that happened during.
Right, and that was not a complicated challenge.
No.
The only thing that made that challenge great is it was funny as hell.
Or the water, or the whatchamacallit, hit that woman head challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, and Davey,
that wasn't meant to be funny either.
No, it wasn't. That was fucking hilarious.
Watermelon in
oh,
head.
Oh, fuck. She should have died.
That was not meant to be amusing. So, yes, there are only two good challenges that I can remember from 3 or 4 years. We're not meant to be funny.
Davey's right. I mean, there's a lot of true-false challenges on Big Brother, and we don't want those in The Amazing Race. But just come up with something creative. And I know it's tough. It's tough when, because you really want to play into the location of where you're at. But come on. We need something better than the elephant.
If they're not going to hire the Big Brother Survivor people, they should bring us on as a creative consultant.
Yeah, at least Trevor and me. I don't want to work at a school anymore. I would.
Yeah,
love...
just give us some money, and we'll sit home. And we'll come up with something fun. We'll sketch some ideas. We'll do some spitballing for him.
Yeah, I'll fucking do that. Pay me to podcast, damn it. I'll fucking promote your show all you want. I don't understand why we don't have ads for The Amazing Race and Survivor, right? Oh, wait a minute, because we're one big advertisement for them.
We are one big advertisement for them.
They should love us. Why aren't we being flown out for the finale?
Which one, Amazing Race or Survivor?
Either one. Just give me one.
I'm not sure if I want to go to the finale of The Amazing Race, to be quite honest. Survivor, you could talk me into.
Yeah, Survivor, I'd love to go to a finale. And I think I am going to try to make it to a finale before the show ends.
See, and you think the show will ever end. I think they'll keep Survivor on as long as they can keep that on.
Yeah. No,
with a show like Survivor... The only person you're paying is the cast and Jeff Pro. I mean, the producers and the the production people, which you would pay for a sitcom anyway.
True.
And Jeff Probst. You know, Survivor probably costs less to make than Everybody Loves Raymond, where you're paying Ray Romano $1 million an episode.
True. True. No, I never do Tarkon just because it's so hard.
They've never invited us.
Well, I'm sure we have an open invitation. I mean, it's not that. It's just that I live in the middle of nowhere. I really, I know people live in.
What's the one that that they always have that big reality show convention?
Oh, I don't know.
They always spam our inbox.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
Peach
on a daily basis.
Georgia Peach from the message boards could definitely get us into Tarkon. That's not the issue.
It's the one where they have all the reality TV show stars.
I don't fucking care.
That they got, it's like some public relations firm.
Yeah.
Got email address. We're going to talk about some show business here. Got our email address. Doesn't bother to say, oh, would you like a press pass for the convention? No. Sends us daily reminders about the convention to attend.
Yeah.
Like, should promote your product. That you don't even offer us a press pass to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? And if you're the PR firm listening to this, bite me.
Yeah. I don't care to do that. I would love to go to Tarkon, and I know I could go to Tarkon. It's not that. I live 4 hours from a major airport. That's ridiculous. I'm four and a half hours from a major airport. It's not easy for me to just get away. I know that's a stupid Tarkon. It's a stupid excuse, but I live in a town of 500 people, you guys.
I live in the middle of nowhere also.
Yeah. Queens is so in the middle of nowhere. I know. Yeah, road trip. I would love to do it. And I know I could get away. I have a very flexible work environment. I know I could get away. It's so far. Everything is so fucking far. I live in a town of 500 people. The nearest Walmart's 2 hours away. I literally have two casinos that are closer than Walmart. How sad is that?
I think that's actually awesome.
It is pretty awesome. So, The Amazing Race, the finale is this Sunday. We have our interview with Mark and Bopper coming up. Trevor, Who wins? Not who. We'll get into who we're rooting for. We've kind of done that already. Who wins?
Dave and Rachel.
I hope so, because she needs to divorce him. She needs to take her half and then half of his half. And then Rob's door is open. Come on in. Now, I am so afraid that Art and JJ win this. I'm done podcast. This is my bet for this year. I make this bet every year. If Art and JJ win, I retire from podcasting. No, I probably won't, but who gets to the mat? This is why I'm kind of hoping that it's Art and JJ. Who gets to the mat and hasn't completed the roadblock? I think it's Art and JJ.
I could see that. I don't think it would. You know, here, and I'm going to say this, Brent and Rachel have an advantage here, and I'll tell you why. They've been in this situation before, yeah, in Big Brother.
Yeah.
If there's a more seasoned team that's not going to crack under pressure, it would be Brendan and Rachel.
Right.
Brendan and Rachel will not be the ones who don't do the roadblock.
My town don't have a McDonald's either, guess 6348. The problem is Rachel's so emotional. She's so emotional that hurts her. I don't think they're the ones that don't do the roadblock, though. I think it's Art and JJ. And I think Brendan and Rachel, I want Brendan and Rachel to win this, but I think that I don't know. Fuck, I don't know. It's so hard. Vanessa and Ralph could just as easily win this.
Vanessa and Ralph are not winning this.
You don't think so?
Nope. Oh, you know what I just found?
No, but I bet you're going to tell us.
I forgot that I had bought Oreos.
Oh, my God.
This is very professional of me.
It is. Dave and Rachel can set the record of 8 wins if they win leg 11 and 12. Are they double stuff? Dover wants to know.
They are.
You fucker. You motherfucker. I want Brendan and Rachel to win, people.
This is why we need commercials. See, if we had our own radio show, like, serious.
Commercial break. Time for a commercial break.
And then I could eat my double stuffed Oreo cookie without having to actually eat it on the air.
You know what? Fuck everyone. Trevor is enjoying a double stuffed Oreo cookie. Fuck you guys if you don't like it. Go get your own goddamn stuffed or double stuffed Oreo cookies and eat them while you're listening to us. We're fucking eating.
If you don't like it, full refund. Everybody listens to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You can get your goddamn money back. Wait a minute. You didn't pay. You know what, everybody? All the haters out there? I also text during the show. I can multitask. I sent like 10 text messages through this whole show. I'm having a conversation on text messages.
Texting, so okay, just so you're not watching porn during the podcast.
Yes, I'm whacking it as well. We've had some haters come out of the closet lately. I don't know what's up with that, but welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're listening.
I think if you notice it, I think... I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't be stunned if some of our haters are other... there's a lot of other TV show podcasts that are new and just popped up.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Hate on the big dog.
I wouldn't put that on anybody. I just don't think anybody would stoop to that level. If they have, then go fuck yourselves. I really don't care. I really don't care. We do this because we enjoy it. And guess what? We have listeners who also enjoy it, so... I'm happy. That's all it takes. And we get to talk to Mark and Bopper.
Yeah, we do get to talk to Mark and Bopper.
Who I could not understand. so, go Brendan and Rachel. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be home Sunday. I hope I'm home Sunday. I'm taking Monday off of work to do interviews. So I'm going to have interviews with all Final Four teams.
Nice.
Yeah. So taking a personal day.
Now, here's a question. Don't a lot of the cast members listen to our show?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art and JJ. Sorry, Art and JJ, don't like
it. My favorite still is Dan and Andrew came on here angry. Oh,
fuck. Yeah. If I had known, if I knew then what I know now, I would have blown up that interview and made them hang up on us.
The fact that they listened to our show and were seething and all the shit.
Yeah, they were pissed. I don't care. I don't care. I'm having fun doing this, and when this stops being fun, that's when I stop doing it.
You know, you're quietly reveling in the fact that they hated all the shit you talked about them.
I don't care. I really don't care what these people think. If they want to get on and put the time and invest the time and the money that we've invested into this and bash me, please, by all means, do it. Otherwise, when you're on episode 347, go fuck yourselves.
What I would find absolutely hysterical is if you're interviewing Brendan and Rachel, you start off with, Rachel, been a big fan since the very beginning.
I haven't hated. Now, what would be bad is if Dave came on here and started calling me out for calling him such a dickhole the whole time. then I might have some remorse.
I will laugh. If when you question Brendan and Rachel, you start off with, Brendan and Rachel, great to have you on the show. I've been a big fan of yours ever since the first day of Big Brother.
No, you haven't. You made fun of me in my diary room entries. I just love Brendan so much. Nobody gets between me and my man.
Tino, the entire first season, didn't think you were annoying one bit.
No, I loved you the entire time. Well, should we get into our interview with Mark and Bopper? Should we get out of here for the year? No, I mean, I'm just kidding. Not for the year. I need to find my ending music. Here it is. Maybe. There it is. Hey, it's the end. Mark and Bopper. Yeah. Floaters, get your life vests! Thank you, guests, for the 3621. How can people get a hold of you, Trevor?
You can catch it at TrevorRFFRadio.com.
I'm Rob at RFFRadio.com. The best way to get a hold of me, though, is on Twitter. Twitter.com/RobRFF. All that goes right to my phone, so you're basically texting me when you Twitter me. And I like getting the tweets, so Twitter me. I'm also on Facebook. Facebook.com/RobRFF. Guys, stay tuned for our Mark and Bopper interview. I'll play it live for everybody in the live show. And you can download the show if you want to and listen to the Mark and Bopper interview. But thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll be back next week with all four teams from The Amazing Race. I interview them on Monday. We will be back next Wednesday night, May 9th, 2012. RFFradio.com/live to listen. And we'll see you next week. So stay tuned now for Mark and Bopper.
Hey, how guys. You doing, Rob? It's Bopper.
Welcome to
how
the
you
show.
Doing? This is Mark.
Hey, guys. How does it feel to be the most beloved team in America right now?
Those are hell words, but I'm great. I hope they're true, but it feels absolutely amazing.
You guys had one hell of a run.
We did. Brother, we put everything we had into it. So, you know, that's when you do your best, you can hold your head up and know that, you know. So, I know that my family is proud of me, and I know Mark's family is proud of him, and our whole county and the whole state of Kentucky is very proud of us.
Absolutely. Did you guys know going into that fast forward that it was not looking good, or what was your outlook running into that fast forward?
That was our only chance. Bad because we started later. But that was the only chance that we had, so it was, like Bopper said, it was a no-brainer. We had to do it. That was our lifeline, the only thing that we thought that might be able to keep us in the race. So we didn't even hesitate. When we got there, it said, shave your head. You know, I was ready. I was already shaved. And my partner, he made, all he did was look at me, and we looked at each other. I said, Madison. And once I said, Madison,
it was an honor for me to do it for my child, because, you know, I needed to win that money to better the life of my child and to get her relocated to a cleaner and healthier environment to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I told him, sitting on the mat when he was shaving my head, shaving my head, that I would give him my leg if he'd give me that money.
It seemed like you guys stayed very focused throughout the entire race. What was your secret?
Our family, brother.
Our family. We had motivation from the time. Listen, you got two guys right here. The family means everything in the world to them. You imagine leaving your family for no contact or whatever. If you're going to make that bigger sacrifice, you've got to leave everything you got on the line for a reason. And, I mean, that's what we do. We left everything on the line, and our motivation was our kids. And that's how they broke us down. All they had to do if they wanted to see tears come to our eyes is just, what do you guys think about? What do you think your family's doing at home? That's all they had to say. And then, I mean, it just rips your heart out.
Sure.
Every time that I thought that I was down and out, you know, and I couldn't go any further, I would just picture my little girl on that breathing machine, and I would dig deep, and I knowed I had to do what I come there to do, and that was to win life-changing money for her.
Mm-hmm.
Just like me, no matter when I got sick, like everybody said, Mark, you got sick a lot. Yeah, I got sick a lot, but did you notice Mark never did quit when he was sick? We got it done.
Now, how long did you stand up there, Mark, and try to dance? Because that looked like torture.
Listen, they don't torture people, and I don't think they torture people like that in World War II.
That...
It was so hot. I was so sick, and the smell just killed me. And I got sick, and then once I got sick, Michael was going to plan on doing the roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got there, and it was dancing, and his knee was broke or blowed out, he couldn't do it. So I had to suck it up, and no matter what happened, I had to do it. And so I did, and it didn't work out. I mean, I got it done, but I'm telling you, it still affected me today. I can't stay out my son a long time. I mean,
wow.
But yeah, I'm going to tell you what, for my buddy and my family and his family, I'd do it again tomorrow if I had to.
That's right. See, in Africa, I had twisted my knee and cracked my femur. So, usually I'm a dancer, because, brother, I got rhythm.
Oh, hey.
I told him that day, I had to sit and watch him suffer, and I watched him long enough, and I told him, hey, you know, this is as bad as we need this money for our family, I can't stand here as a friend and watch you, son, pass out on this mat, so let's take the penalty and move on with what we got.
And then I realized I couldn't let him do that because he was there for the same reason I was. And when somebody cares that much for you, you want to give them everything you got. And then, like he said, all we have to do is pitch our family, our kids. And, I mean, it was just motivation. And that's what he said to get me back out there. He said, man, we got to do this one more time for our kids.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I told him, I can't do it, but I'm going to do it. And I went out there and did it.
It's amazing, just sitting here talking to you guys right now, how real you guys really came across, even on TV. Were you happy with how you looked on television?
Man, listen, I am, but I'm proud of myself and how we did on TV. But the guys that you've seen on The Amazing Race are the same guys that you're talking to right now. That's our everyday life.
I mean, we get along with everybody. We don't meet no strangers. We respect everybody. I don't care if we walk up, just like you said, if we walk up to you and you walk up to us, we're going to shake your hand, hug your neck, and you're a friend. And you'll be a friend of ours till you get to something to not be a friend of ours, because we definitely ain't going to do, we're going to be there for you through thick and thin.
You know, a lot of my family have been contacted, and they say, you know, Is Bopper really like that? Is that Bopper? Listen, that's Bopper. If you meet me 20 years from now, if the good Lord lets me live that long, I'll be the same Bopper that you've seen on The Amazing Race.
And I live after that because he has aggravated me for 30 years and he's not changed a bit.
What was your guys' strategy going into this race? Did you have any type of plan going into it? And what did you think? Just overall,
we had no strategy. Listen, I had never been on an airplane in my life. The only strategy that we knowed that we had was heart. Anything they put in front of us, we was going to do it regardless. So, for the Amazing Race, you cannot make a strategy plan.
Yes, you can. I had a strategy. I started out to win as soon as we got there. I mean, he says listen.
But for me, and this is proper speaking, like I said, I was there to take one day at a time and to do my best at whatever they put in front of me. And I told Mark from the get-go, and he knows this. I'm a motorcycle mechanic. I'm good with my hands. So if they're going to give me a challenge that's got to, to deal with me working with my hands, they might as well fold it up and give it up, brother, because they can't beat me when it comes to working with my hands. And Mark's the same way.
And that's the thing with us. The strategy that I had when going in there was just to concentrate, try to win first place. And then we got in there, and the first thing we did was we run up on these in Salta. And these people speaking this different language, and then Bopper was standing there, and all these other teams that's in the race with us runs up there. I look at we look at each other and like, man, we've been set up.
So we spoke one language, brother, and that was country.
And that was it. We didn't have, and couldn't understand no languages but English. But we looked at it like that, and we said, listen, we can't worry about first places. We got to stay in this race. And that's why we didn't really attempt to try to win no first places till it got to where everybody got on equal grounds. We couldn't nobody speak the languages that these other people were speaking. And that's when me and Papa just took over the race. And we just, our hearts just carried us through and the motivation of our family thinking about how bad we needed to. We don't get opportunities like it.
Right.
And that's why we poured everything we had into it. And that's why last night when we left that mat, we realized we give everything we had, no matter what anybody said, we give 110%, and we could live with the outcome of what happened. There was nothing else we could do besides what we did to finish where we finished, and it was meant for us to go home.
All we had going into that race was heart and determination. That's all we had.
Now, what from your guys' point of view, what did you think of all the controversy that was happening between the teams, specifically Brendan and Rachel and Vanessa and Ralph? From your point of view, what was that like and how did that affect how you guys raced?
It didn't affect us in no way, shape, or form because we know that we weren't going to get in that mess. And like my mama always told me, if it ain't got nothing to do with you, stay out of it.
That's right. Well, I said, if they want to act like children in school and, let them shoot their own self in the foot. We ain't going to be no part of it, we just mind our P's and Q's, and we got along with everybody.
Everybody. And we didn't hitch our horse to none of them wagons. We was friends with all of them, and we let them know that right off the bat. We ain't wanting no controversy with nobody. We're friends with all of y'all.
We'd sit around losing our part. We'd talk to a few teams. We'd say, now look, you guys have been good to us. We'll help you guys in any way we can. Let's help each other, whoever it is. Let's get to the final three. Then it's dog eat dog, and we're going to agree to that. But we're going to do this in an upstanding manner, and we're not going to be cutthroat, and be rude and hateful to other teams. But we let them understand, we're all here to win $1 million. So if we're lucky enough to make it to the final three, no disrespect to you, but we got to do what we have to do.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, you guys absolutely are amazing to talk to, and you definitely put the amazing into the amazing race this season. So thank you so much.
We really appreciate that, man. That means a whole lot.
Well, congratulations to you, and thanks for sitting down and talking with me today.
Well, brother, we thank you for taking the time to talk to two old hillbillies like us.
Well, thank you so much, and again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank
have a good
you.
Day.
You too.